And let's turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, and we will begin reading in verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, Father, we thank you for the word of God that we've just read. And I pray, Lord, and I ask that you would help us to see the truth of the scripture today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to use this scripture as we go forward in the year to serve you better, to understand and learn how to serve you better. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about bearing fruit. And we've talked on Wednesday night, we talked about being fruitful, didn't we? And we talked about how to do that. And, you know, this last verse, the verse that we have displayed, is very close to Psalm 1. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away or bloweth away. And he says that therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So we see that the similarities there between this passage that we talk about. And I want you to see something here. It's always an amazing thing to see the look at the scriptures and see the similarities so many times between what God had men write. And Jeremiah wrote this, and he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and that maketh flesh his arm, and whose departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Now, we understand the eternal consequences of putting your trust in man instead of men, but there's also practical consequences. There's also practical consequences. When you look at this world and you even look at the people who have more than heart could wish, and they're never satisfied, are they? They want more, and they puff themselves up, and they think that they have to do this or they have to do that. A lot of these people that are running around trying to think that they're going to save the world, that somehow it's up to them, they have to do it. And you've heard me say it about the environmentalists and all these people, a lot of them, you know, oh, man is destroying the world. All right, man is the problem. And then you say, well, what's the solution? Well, we got to do this. Who's we? Mankind. Man is the problem, but man is the only solution. How many of you have ever had a problem that the solution to your problem was the problem itself? That don't even make sense, does it? And if man is the problem, and I agree, man is the problem. This world is in the shape it is because of sinners. And because of sin. But man's not the answer. And even though they may have everything, they're never satisfied. They literally dwell in the desert. They're afraid. You go back and you look at people like Howard Hughes, who at one time was the richest man in the world. He became a raving nutcase. And isn't it funny that all these people that they'll sit there and they'll talk about all these things that happen because of poverty, broken homes, and really, poverty is often not caused. Broken homes are not caused by poverty. It's generally the other way around, that poverty is caused by broken homes. Why? Because people are violating the Word of God. And it's costing them something. But you have people that are rich and have everything. Bill and Melinda Gates. They were going to save the world together, right? He was a rich man and everything, and she decided she didn't want anything to do with him. She just wanted her share. And so they broke up. And he thinks he's going to fix the world, and the things that he has gone forward to do have actually caused more problems than they solved. And there are some that believe, and there's some justification for this, that his goal is to kill people because he wants to reduce population. And he's been in a bunch of groups that have talked about forced sterilizations and all this type of stuff. You know, if people believe that the world's overpopulated, why don't they just quit? Populate. That'd be the first thing. If everybody that professed that the world, they believe the world was populated. Isn't it funny that they don't mind having kids, do they? They don't mind doing that type of stuff. That's everybody else, not them. But their lives, they, for all that they have, the fact that they trust in themselves, they're eat up with fear. Obviously fear of death. Their lives are don't reflect. You'd think if it was just about having what you want, right? It was just about having everything, that they should be the happiest people in the world, but they're not. They're scared to death. But they're never too scared to take advantage of somebody to get a little more power, a little more money, are they? But they act like nutcases, and they want to pass themselves off as being smarter than everybody else, and they're not. I mean, they got some smarts. I mean, they made some money, and more power to them. I don't begrudge anybody making money in an honest way. But, you know, a lot of them have turned into dishonest. And they know in their heart that eventually the chickens are coming home to roost. They know that there's going to be an accounting, and they're afraid. And so, when something good happens, they can't be happy for it. I mean, if you think about these people. And I know a lot of them are just in this because there's an agenda and they want more power. And of course, there's an agenda behind everybody's agenda. The devil has his agenda and most people are following it. They walk according to the course of the prince of power of the air. All right, he's the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, the Bible tells us. But they are never satisfied. They're never happy. You know, we would talk about, you got all these people that are out there and they're talking about the environment. You know, we have done more in the United States of America to clean up our air pollution than probably any other nation in the world. of any other industrialized, of nations that are industrialized, that have a large population, that have a lot of automobiles. We've done things more. Are they ever satisfied? Are they ever even happy? No. They want to clean up coal plants. So Plant Daniel comes in here, builds a whole big old thing. And he gets it up there to put the coal and to reduce the emissions and all the things that they've done. And you know what happened? No sooner than it was finished that they put in new laws which made it obsolete. And they were in violation of the law. After spending millions to obey the law and clean it up, instead of people saying, "Hey, hallelujah, that we made a step forward." No, we haven't done anything. We gotta get rid of all coal. We gotta get rid of all cars. But you don't have the means to use this energy you want to use. It doesn't have the infrastructure or the capacity to supply what we need. Don't care. We gotta destroy it all. They can't even see when something good happens. When we make a step forward, instead of rejoicing at it, all they do is cry about about their next perceived problem. When something good happens, they can't even they don't see it, do they? I'm just using that as an example. You could use it about a lot of different things. People that don't trust God, they're never happy. They're never content. They never see when one blessing comes and that blessing's in the past. I can't rejoice about it because I see all the problems coming. That's the person that trusts in man. And if you want to put your trust in man, I can understand why you're neurotic, and I can understand why you're afraid all the time, and I can understand why you're worried all the time, because if you put your trust in man, you know what man is like, so it's no wonder you're scared. We elect people and we listen to all their promises. And so we place our vote out there. We give them our trust. And no sooner than they get there, we're scared to death about what they're going to do. If you put your trust in man, that's where you're going to be. He shall not see when good, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's the way mankind is. That's the way people that trust in man, that's the way they are. They're never sure. It doesn't matter what good comes, because every time they look out there, all they see is man and his inconsistency, man and his wickedness, man and his duplicitous. And if they needed any assurance or understanding that they're in jeopardy putting their trust in man, all they need do is look in the mirror honestly. And that ought to scare you. And if your trust is in man deep in your heart, you know how fallible man is. You know how wicked and corrupt man is. And we ought to understand that. We ought to see that. But then he says in verse 7, he says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." You see, somebody that trusts in the Lord fully, it doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what man does. It doesn't matter what man does. Because if your trust is in the Lord, if you were to go to the book of Hebrews, let me run over there real quick. If you were to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, In verse 1, it says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversities, being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he," talking about the Lord, "hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That is the amazing thing when we look at the scriptures there. You find me a person that trusts in the Lord. They're not getting their sustenance, their strength, their hope. They don't get that from what men do or don't do. It doesn't matter what happens. They can continue serving the Lord and living right, and they can have peace in their heart. Notice he said they shall not be careful in the year of drought. That doesn't mean they're not affected by the drought. That means they're not afraid of the drought. Like he says, be careful for nothing. They're not anxious and fretful over it. They're not going to sit there and say, "Oh, what shall we do? What shall we do?" Their trust is in the Lord, so they're going to take those burdens and cast them upon the Lord, and they're going to look to the Lord to sustain them and to provide for them and to help them, to strengthen them. Whatever it may be, whatever is required, whether there's provision necessary or whether there's just strength to bear the burden of what we have to face, they're going to be looking to Him for that. They're not going to be careful and all upset and worried. They're going to be the ones with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, letting their requests be made known unto God. And they are the ones whom the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep their hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. That's who those are. And notice what he said. He said, they're not going to be afraid because they know that their strength does not come from the world. I mean, if you've got a tree by the river and the roots run deep and the water's under the ground and there's a river right there, that tree is going to stand up to a whole lot of drought before it falls and withers away and dies. While the other trees that are further inland, we're the tree, he's the river. And he said, he shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, the fellow that came in here asking for help today, you know, he was invited to stay. And I wish he would have. It'd be good to see some of these people that we've tried to help and see every, you know. Granted, anything we do is pretty small, but we did give him the gospel, didn't we? You know, he got the gospel and everything like that. He could have probably benefited more by staying. The Lord may have touched his heart, may have showed him something he needed. You never know. But, you know, his trust is not in the Lord. His trust is in man. He's got to find a way to get men to help him. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe he needed to go on. And I don't want to be ungracious or anything. Maybe he needed to go on. But it sure does seem like so many people that come, they never come back, do they? Unless it's to ask for more help. And we're not the ones that can help them. The Lord can help them. The Lord can change their life. He changed my life. And I just wish good people would understand that. I wish more Christians could understand that God can change your life. And we don't do that. But you know, we can continue yielding fruit. You know, we did what we could to help him out. And praise the Lord for just being able to do that. We should never be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Right? And so we've got that done. So we're still, we can, regardless of what happens, we can still yield fruit. We have brothers and sisters in the Lord in foreign countries, and you know what? Their situation is far more dire than ours is. But they're still winning souls. They're still trying to live for God. They're still finding out that God can provide for them. In small ways, in great ways. So it doesn't matter what happens to us in this world. If things take a turn for the worse here in the United States of America, and persecution comes and all that, that's us. God's the river. Now the reality is, and I used the man that came here earlier today asking for help and sat in the morning service with us. I used him as an example. You know, we went and got him some gas and we fed him and we did a few other things like that. But what little we did, we did something, didn't we? I used him as an example. And we've sat here and we've thought about it, and it's like, and I honestly believe, I think he's been here before, and I can't remember exactly. And I didn't want to say that, but I don't know that for sure, because I can't remember perfectly whether or not that was him or another person. But I feel like I've seen him before, and I've probably been some time, and I probably should pay better attention or whatever the case may be. But the simple fact is, you don't see somebody very often. You're not sure, right? Whether you, matter of fact, we were over there at that play, and there was a fellow over there that I knew pretty well from April and Brandon's church. And Sister Denise said, "Isn't that Brother Mason?" And I said, "I've been looking at him because I couldn't see his face. I could only see the back part of it. I've been looking at him, but I don't know for sure if that's him or not." And so, I've seen him several times in the last year, and I still couldn't quite be 100% sure it was him. It turned out to be him, and we got to talk to him for a little while last night. But you know, you don't see somebody enough. You don't really always remember every little detail about it when you meet somebody. And so, I don't know. I may be wrong on that. That may be his first time ever being here, asking for help. I don't know that. So we can speculate all we want. We can speculate on whether he just wanted money. We can speculate all that. But we don't know anything, do we? We don't know his heart, do we? He could be 100% on the level. So it really doesn't do us any good to speculate. Doesn't do us any good to speculate about each other's hearts. You can't see anything. But you know, one thing I do know about the heart of man, and one of the reasons why when somebody comes like that, we're so tempted to speculate about what their motives are. And are they honest about their request? Did they just come here to get some money so they could go out and spend it on liquor or dope or whatever, or tobacco or some other thing that is hurtful to them? Did they do that? We don't really know, do we? We can speculate. But the reason we speculate like that is because we know exactly what this next verse says. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We know. We know through personal experience that the heart of man is deceitful above all things. And if you're honest, you know so by looking at your own heart. If you've never looked at your heart and said, "You know what, I'm deceitful and I'm wicked," you probably never got saved. If you think you're good, you didn't get saved. God didn't save anybody because they were good. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And if he died for the ungodly, and he died for the world, that means all the world is ungodly. There's none righteous, no, not one. And you have to be conscious of your own sin before you can get saved. Because you can't repent if you don't believe you've ever sinned. And if you looked at your heart, you know it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Sometimes you've found that you don't even know your own heart, if you're honest. And if you don't know your own heart, there's certainly no way you can know another's. But there is one who knows, isn't it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the ring. Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I don't have to know everybody's heart. I don't even have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about whether they're going to get over on me. I don't have to worry about whether they have ill intention toward me or whatever. All I have to do is try to do what's right myself. I need to worry about my own heart. Can't worry about anybody else's because I can't do anything about it. But God can. He knows. And you know what? He will give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's just the simple thing. God has built some things in here. We call it cause and effect. Alright? God calls it reaping what you sowed. But God's built some things into this world and built things in to mankind that mankind will indeed reap the consequences in this life of their doing. And of course we know ultimately there's the ultimate consequence is separation from God for eternity in hell for rejecting the salvation of God which was purchased by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We know that there's an ultimate penalty to be paid. But God gives to every man according to his works. And, you know, if you spend your time and your trust is in man, it's no wonder you're a nervous wreck. It's no wonder you're afraid all the time. It's no wonder that you're worried all the time. Because you don't see anything higher than mankind. And if man fails, you fail. But there is a God in heaven who we ought to trust. And if you can trust Him to save your soul, you ought to be able to trust Him to guide you through life day by day. And so, He searches your heart. God knows whether you trust Him or not. But if your trust is in man, you're just going to stay a nervous wreck all the time. And you say, well, how do you know whether my trust is in man or in God? Well, I'll tell you how you can know it. How much do you praise God? How much do you take your burdens to God? How much do you rely upon Him? How much do you seek after Him? And you know, if we fail to trust Him the way we should, we know what's going to happen eventually, even for those that are redeemed and saved. There's a judgment seat for us as well. And all our works, and our work will be what? Tried by the fire. And only that which abides the fire of God's holiness. Will be left and we'll receive a reward for that. But if it's wood, hay, or stubble and it's burned up, then guess what? We suffer loss, don't we? We ourselves may be saved, yet so is by fire. We know what the Bible says about that. So there's a cost to us to not trusting in the Lord. You know, I always think about that saying I heard somebody say one time, only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. And God searches the heart. He tries the reins. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. God sees what you and I cannot see. But how's your life? Is it filled? Is it like a desert? Is it like a drought? Are you always worried? Always fearful? How many times did Jesus said, "Fear not, it is I. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And I will trust in thee and not be afraid. Two choices, isn't it? Every day we have these two choices. A blessing or a curse. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. You put your trust in men rather than trust in God. And by the way, if your trust is in men, don't dress it up like your trust in God. I remember one preacher that came to me one day and he showed me a nice fine ladder. And he said, "You like the ladder that the Lord gave me?" And I said, "The Lord gave you that?" I said, "Tell me the story, brother." He said, "Well, I was driving down Highway 65 over Mobile." And he said, "I was driving down there and I saw a brand new ladder on the side of the road. And it was just laying on the side of the road." He said, "And I stopped and I picked it up and I took it. Because I needed a ladder. I just figured that the Lord gave it to me." And I said, "Brother, are you sure the Lord gave you that ladder?" He didn't like that. But I asked him, I said, did it have any information on it?" He said, "Well, it might have." I said, "Did you call those folks and tell them they'd lost the ladder?" "No." Now, if you lost something and there were some markings on it that identified you as the rightful owner, wouldn't you think the right thing to do would be to call those folks up and say, "Hey, I found this. Is this yours?" If they had a means to do it. And I asked him about it, and he didn't appreciate it. He got kind of upset with me. But that's the whole thing. Just because something falls into your lap, you know, if you find a billfold with $1,000 in it, and you don't do anything, even try to find out if there's a rightful owner you can return it to, how is that right? I mean, now, I asked him about it, and I said, "You know, did you do that?" Now, maybe it wasn't any of my business. Maybe it's just between him and the Lord, but I mean, he was brother and Lord, so I asked him. He said it was all nice and wrapped. I said, "Did you?" And he didn't like the thought that I was questioning his integrity, but I really wasn't doing that. I was asking him. I was like, because he said the Lord gave it to him. And I just want to make sure it came from the Lord. But the bottom line is, you know, come to find out, he just saw it and wanted it and picked it up and went on about it and blamed it on the Lord. And that's the easy thing to do. I'm not saying I'm better than him. I'm just saying, well, I'm just using that as an example of preaching. If you, I mean, you know, the what he wants me to believe is that God went over there and went, blink, and knocked that little thing off there and put it there just for him to see. Now, is that possible? Sure it is. But God's not a thief neither. So, I'm just simply saying that, you know, the point being is we know what's possible, but the question is what's reality? And if you see something that's lost, it's our responsibility to turn it to somebody. And find out. And then if everything works out and it's yours, then hallelujah, it's yours. But and then if you, who knows, if you try to give it back or something like that, it may say, oh no, thank you. Well, that's yours, you can have it. And you could definitely say the Lord provided it for me. Because you know you got it by doing the right thing, right? That's all I'm trying to use this example for, is that if you get things from a manner that's not biblical and not right, and you haven't done your part to do right, and you're just relying on another person's failure, you're trusting in man. But if you have that opportunity, it comes in your hand, and you do what the right thing, and then God provides for you, then you can say with no shred of doubt in your conscience that God provided. Because it came from good. What does the Bible say? Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. So if you got it through not doing good, then don't say it came from God. It came from man. It came from your own devices. But if you were doing good and were rewarded for it, you can honestly say that came from God. And you know, even if you do good and don't get rewarded for it immediately, you're going to be rewarded for it eternally, aren't you? Amen. Amen. And so you and I, we can't see people's hearts, but God can. So you have a choice, a blessing or a cursing. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. By the way, I've known a lot of people that profess to be Christians that they can't be happy about anything. They can't see when anything good comes. They can't rejoice. When I see good coming, I can rejoice. He said, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land and not inhabited. But then it goes on to say, blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. I'll tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'd rather have the blessing than the curse. Amen. I'd like to be able to continue to bear fruit. I'd like to be able to go out and plant and water and watch God give the increase. I'd like to be able to do that. Sometimes we don't feel like doing it, but we need to do it because it's right. It's good. And sometimes we may have to make a decision that if we just were a little bit dishonest, we could reap a benefit. But we need to do what's honest and right, don't we? And decent. Like I said before, Christians ought to be the most honest people in the world. We ought to just do right. Old preacher by the name of Bob Jones, he used to say, do right if the stars fall. He said, I don't care what happens, just do right. The Lord will take care of you. Trust the Lord and do good. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll close the service today. Father, help us to trust you above all. We have a new day of a new year set before us. So, Lord, day by day, help us learn to trust you and help us do what we ought to do. Thank you for this time. Whatever time you give us, thank you for it. And help us to be those who are blessed and trust in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Help us to be those people. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.